Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit. Well, hallelujah, everybody. How many came to church today to worship God? Say amen if you did. How many came to hear the Word of the Lord? Say amen if you did. How many brought your Bible with you today? Say amen if you did. Let's make our confession as we go before the Lord today in whatever form you have it, whether it's paper, whether it's electronic, whatever. Let's lift it up and make our confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, the incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, shout it again, hallelujah. Woo, God is good, isn't He? Hallelujah. Let me plug in here and get where I need to be today. Oh, I got so many places I can go today. I'll tell you what, I've just got a lot of word that is built up in my heart and my life, and I'm going to give you some nuts and bolts and basics today for a few minutes as we share together today. But I've got a little projection here prepared for us called God's Plan of Salvation. Notice the words, boldly God's plan, not man's plan, not what religion tells you what to do. Not what different cults or different groups of people tell you what to do, but God's plan. After all, if God is in charge of this whole thing, and if God is the maker of heaven and earth, and He is, and if He is the one that has heaven to where our home is going to be one day, don't you think it's all right for God to make His own rules how everybody gets there? Somebody say amen. And He has. He's made His rules. And He's told us, He encourages us how to walk with Him and be pleasing in His sight through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and to make our way to heaven. Now, I've got a little scripture verse there. It might be a little small for you, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Turn in the Bible there. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Make sure you do that during the service today. Make sure that I'm not going to say anything to you that is not absolutely out of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. If you want to know what the plan of God is in a nutshell, basically, there's what you're seeing in verse 21. The scripture says, "For He hath made Him." In other words, God the Father has made Jesus. He hath made Him. God hath made Him to be sin for us. Some versions read a sin offering for us. In other words, He's our payment of our sin debt that we could not pay. But God hath made Him to be sin for us. I read it like this. God, You made Jesus to be sin for me. He did that on the cross of Christ. Sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ was not crucified for His own sin. He did not pay His own sin debt. He had no debt to pay. He paid someone else's debt. He paid someone else's bill that came due. It was mine and it was yours on the cross some 2,000 years ago now. Notice, God had made Him to be sin for us. He's been made to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that we... Let me ask you something. How many believe that Jesus paid the price for your sin on the cross? Somebody say amen. Amen. How many believe that? You believe that? I think you do. You're honest-hearted people. I believe you believe that. But now, let's go on with the scripture because we don't just pick and choose. The 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." How many believes you are the righteousness of God? Amen. That wasn't quite as strong as the other part. How many believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Say amen. How many believes that now you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ? Amen. Absolutely. You must get rid of, what he did with Kenyon Coleman years ago, a sin consciousness. You will not receive anything from God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, not should believe, or ought to believe, but he must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I must believe. Without faith it is impossible for me to please God. I must believe. And so in this area of believing and entrusting God and having faith for him, I cannot have faith as long as I have a sin consciousness. As long as I am conscious of my sin, I cannot have faith. As long as I'm walking around this earth believing that I'm just the lowest life that's ever lived, I don't please God. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care for me. And as long as I'm thinking in myself that I'm no good, I cannot make it, I have not arrived to where God wants me to be, I'll never get where God wants me to be, and I'm just unpleasing to God. As long as I have that kind of sin consciousness in me, I cannot exercise faith. For what happens when I pray a prayer, so-called, of faith, and I begin to pray, then the devil begins to bring my sin consciousness back into me. And he whips me. You and me are no match for the devil by ourselves. We must have an advocate. We must have one who will stand and fight this battle for us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Bible tells us. Back up to Romans chapter 3. Let me show you something. Look at Romans chapter 3 and go down to about, let's go down to verse 21. Romans chapter 3 and look at about verse 21. Look at verse 20. I won't say 19, I'll keep on going back. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. There is not one part of the law of the old covenant that will bring justification to me today. If I look at what the law is, we know in the Old Testament, 39 books in the Old Testament, that's not the law. If we go back, we find Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. Those five books are called the Torah or the law, yet Genesis does not include in the law. The law begins in the book of Exodus and it ends in the book of Deuteronomy. Now you have some of the major and minor prophets who, you know, back up and refer to the law and some of the writings. But the law is that portion of Scripture. And in that portion of Scripture, it tells you what you should do and shouldn't do, what you must do and mustn't do, what you're commanded to do and what you're commanded not to do. And Scripture tells us that you and I can't be justified by those kind of deeds of the law. If we look in the book of Hebrews, we find out that men and women in those days were not justified by those words of the law either, because they had to offer a sacrifice every single year of their life and had to keep coming before the throne again and again and again in the temple and in the tabernacle, offering those blood sacrifices, which the Bible says can never take away, in the book of Hebrews, a sin consciousness. So in other words, we have to get to the place in the arena of faith to where we are not bound down by a sin consciousness. Now notice what Scripture says in verse 21. Scripture tells us, but now, everybody say now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. We have the righteousness of God without old covenant, without the law now. Some other way we have become righteous, and it ain't through the old covenant. It's not through tabernacle worship. It's not through temple worship. Notice, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Everybody say, by faith. By faith. We become righteous by faith. We believe on what someone else did for us by faith. Notice what it says, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, upon all them that believe. There is no difference. Doesn't matter today, you know, if you got, you know, $10 million in your account today, or where you have 5 cents in your account, it doesn't matter. No matter what color you are, doesn't matter what, were you from the south or were you from the north, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a man or if you're a woman. It doesn't matter if you are young like me or old. It doesn't matter in this life. It doesn't matter at all. There is no difference. Faith does not determine, in other words, you don't bring your differences to God and say, yeah, but this person did it because of that. No, that person did it because of faith. And you and I, we don't lose because this or that. It's because the exercise of our faith or not. Notice what he says. By faith of Jesus Christ and all them that believe, for there is no difference. Everybody say no difference. Oh, you ought to get that in your heart and mind. There's no difference. Have you ever been battling an issue of life and maybe you looked at your checking account and it was way down and you said, wait a minute, God, you love me just as much as you love that person who's got a checking account that is filled. There's no difference in me and them. Needed healing in your life, and the devil had attacked you with everything he could bring against you, including the kitchen sink. I mean, hit you with everything. And you come to God, and you recognize there's no difference. If God ever healed a man, he'll heal me. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. If God ever blessed a person, he'll bless me. Yes. Say that with me. Say, if God ever blessed anybody that believed, he'll bless me when I believe. Oh, AJ taught about it last week when he skipped over that chapter about that woman that was in there and talking about Jairus and her daughter and brought us that great teaching on the raising and what God did for her and brought her back to life again for her father, Jairus. And that little story, that woman had the issue of blood. Jesus talked about it like this. He said, her faith made her whole. And I came to the conclusion one day, if her faith made me whole, then my faith will make me whole. Amen. I'm not sitting there saying God loves somebody else more than me. No, no. There is no difference. There is no difference. Notice it. Verse 23, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. Not a one of us have not sinned and come short of the glory of God. Didn't say you did it today. So don't get that attitude that you just sin in every single day of your life. Every last, 10 minutes. You're saying, what have you done in the last 10 minutes? That's a sin. You say, well, I hope you haven't done anything. If you can make it 10 minutes, I believe you can make it 15. How about that? If you can go 15, you can probably go an hour. If you can go an hour, I believe you make it a day. I'll tell you what, I live days and weeks and months without sin in my life. I absolutely do. And you can too. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. If I do miss the mark, I'm going to run toward the throne. Notice what he said. For all sin and come short of the glory of God. Notice verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. Freely by his grace. Freely by his unmerited favor. It ain't something I did. It's not something you did. It's something he did. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a perpetuation through faith in his blood. Why are you the righteousness of God in Christ? Because you have faith in his blood. His blood has cleansed me. And whom the Son of God has set free is free indeed. I am free. I am cleansed. I've been made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through any works of righteousness, which we have done, the Bible says in the book of Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not anything we have done, but according to his grace and his mercy, he saved us. And that's what he's saying here. Perpetuation through faith in his blood. I believe in the blood. Somebody say, I believe in the blood. I believe in the blood. A lot of churches today don't want to talk about the blood. But if you ain't talking about the blood, you are not talking about salvation. Because it is a redemptive price that was paid for us, the blood of the Lord Jesus that purchased and bought our salvation. By the blood of Almighty. Everybody say, by the blood. Woo! Somebody say, by the blood. I had a preacher a few weeks ago who started bad-mouthing me about this. All you people claiming the blood, pleading the blood. He said, you ought not be doing all that. I said, well, I'm healed, bless God, and I think I'll keep on doing it. Amen? By the blood. It wasn't my blood. It wasn't yours. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was sinless blood that was placed into the body of Christ here on earth by God Almighty. Bloodline comes from the Father. And it was that sinless blood that was shed for you and me. Now, so notice it. A perpetuation or mercy seat. Through faith in the blood to declare his righteousness for remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I have been declared righteous. You have been declared righteous if you've received the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. God's declared you righteous. Stop declaring yourself a sinner. Amen. If you've been made righteous. Now, if you haven't, get saved. Amen. Become righteous. Amen. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Same way anybody else does it. But don't be walking around just making a great big... I mean, one of the biggest things I see out in the religious world, in churches and places like that, is people want to talk about they just a sinner saved by grace and sin all the time. I say, well, I was a sinner. I got saved by grace. And now I don't sin all the time. How would you feel if I tell you I'm your pastor and you know today, as soon as I leave here today, I'm fitting to divorce my wife, leave her, and pitch a fit and go out and marry two or three other women and rob the bank? And I said, we're all just a bunch of sinners. We all just, y'all can't help it. We're all just a bunch of sinners. That's all we ever do, just sin, sin, sin. Y'all throw me out of this place. And rightly so. And some people talk about things like that, like they can't live right, they can't make good decisions. Why not? How come you can't? You made a good decision today to be in church today, to hear the word of the Lord. You did that one good decision. I'm confident you can make another good decision. I don't think you just totally devil-possessed if I say amen. Amen. I think you still got some willpower and control left, don't you? Amen. I tell you what, you know, my dad is in glory listening to me today. But, you know, years ago, he used to tell me when I was growing up, I better straighten up and do right. Yeah. I told him I can't. Can't help myself. He dealt with me about the next 5-10 minutes after I went outside and cut the hickory that he was going to use. That was a 2-prong. Don't bring me back a single prong. Bring back a double prong hickory. Believe it or not, somewhere during that event, I learned that I could do right. I learned that I could straighten up. I learned I could quit cussing. I learned I could quit lying and doing wrong. I learned I could respect my teachers, you know, at school and those kind of things. How many knows you can do something if you want to? Say amen. We're playing around with all this religion people got out there. They're just making excuses and alibiing for their old sinful, ungodly behavior that they don't want to stop. That didn't cost anything. I don't even have it in my notes. In Romans 3, verse 25, the remission of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. A declaration has been made in the court of heaven. That he might be just or righteous and the justifier or righteous maker, same thing. He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. How many believe in Jesus? Say amen. Amen. How many are just? Say amen. How many are righteous? Say amen. How many believe in Jesus? Say amen. That's where your righteousness is. It's in Christ Jesus. In him, Acts 17, verse 26, in him we live and move and have our being. It's in Christ that we live and we move. He is our righteousness. Declare, I say, verse 26, at this time, his righteousness. Now, don't get mad yet, okay? I got some other things that might make us mad later on. But anyway, to declare, I say, his righteousness. You are just as righteous as Jesus is. You are just as, oh, wait a minute now. How can I be just as righteous as Jesus is? Because it's his righteousness that I got. So how can I not be just as righteous as he is? I don't have my own. My own's like filthy rags. I've got his. He has decreed it. He has declared it. I am a child of God. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, John talked about it like this. He talked about that the person that has condemnation in their heart, that person does not get their prayer through. And so you've got to get rid of that condemnation out of your life and that sin consciousness and recognize that when you come before the Lord in prayer. Yesterday I spent a whole lot of time in my prayer study all day long, really, in my prayer study for about, I don't know, 9 yesterday morning to 10 last night. And so I'm there and I'm worshiping, I'm praising, I'm praying, I'm interceding, I'm walking, I'm loving, I'm living around the risen Christ. I'm filling myself with the word of God. I'm letting him saturate myself with the things of God. All those things. Why? Because I'm getting rid of sin consciousness. And so if you go back into the world and you listen to what the radio tells you, what the television tells you, what the internet tells you, what your next door neighbor tells you, what everybody else tells you, what religious people tell you, you'll have a sin consciousness. But when I look in there and I find out, you mean God? You mean to tell me that you declared me righteous based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and now I have his righteousness? Well, I've got to be righteous. There's no way around it. I've got to be. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, him who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been made righteous because of what Jesus, it's the great exchange. Jesus came to this earth in all of his righteousness and traded it for all my sins. And so now, Jesus the righteous was called sin, made sin at the cross, And I was made righteous at the cross. And so I'm not going to insult Jesus and say, you know what, Jesus, I don't think you did such a good job after all. I don't think you just quite measured up. I don't know, maybe there's something else you needed to do, because I'm still just this old, rotten, no good sinner that sins all the time. What would, if your children came and told you that, what would you say? Say, now look, how come you brought home this failing grade? I don't know if they give failing grades anymore in school. But how come you brought home this failing grade of an F? Well, I guess I just don't study. You don't? No. Where are your books that I leave them at school? I don't even bring them home. You don't? Well, what about your tablets and computers and things that you use? I don't even have one. I won't need it because I won't study it. And then you say, well, you need to start studying. You start doing right. The next day they come home, bring home another F. Say, what happened to you today, son? I just don't study. I'm just an old non-studier that makes F's. That's what I am. What would you say as a parent? You're going to straighten up. You're going to straighten up. For sure, you'll be straight because you won't be able to bend over and sit. We're going to straighten yourself up. We're going to straighten you up. See? You wouldn't recognize that. What if you went out here, unless you're in California, but what if you went out here in Ingles today and you got out in Ingles, you came out and you had bought and purchased something, and as you came through the line, you just didn't pay for it and walked out. And they said, hey, you haven't paid for that. I don't pay for nothing. I just steal every day. That's who I am. I steal all the time. I can't help it. No, they're going to lock your hide up, put you in jail. Should. I don't think they're doing that anymore. I think you got to steal over $952 in California before they even worry about locking you up. That's how crazy they are out there. Some things is absolutely crazy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Not afraid to say it. They're absolutely nuts. You are nuts. Somebody talk about the homeless situation in California and those kind of things, and people pitching tents, using the bathroom out in front of businesses. Whew. If I was governor out there, I'd go out there and round all the people up, paddle them real good, and dump them off in Nevada. So you ain't doing that here in California. Don't you come back. That's the way you're going to live. Don't you come back. You know the pilgrims? You know the pilgrims when we first founded America? One of the requirements was when you came into a community, you had to have a job. If you didn't, they sent you packing. Oh, Lord, I hear Shirley over here talking. I know her with her kids and everybody in her house. You're going to school every day, right? Her two sons had perfect attendance all through the school, 18 years. Imagine that. Why? Because Mama said, y'all going to school. I don't feel good today, Mama. Good. Don't feel good all the way to school. Because you going to school. We need to do some things right. Somebody say amen. Quit all this playing around with this wacko world that's trying to do it. All right. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm not going to hold you forever. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Now then. I've sort of laid this little old foundation that I got carried away with here about what salvation is. It's basically you receiving the righteousness of God in your life. That's it. Jesus took your sins, you take his righteousness. That's salvation. That's what it is, all right? Now then, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let me give you some cold, hard truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. Recognize that everything's got its seasons in life. Don't cut your season short. Don't misunderstand your seasons. One of the biggest things that people could really realize in life is what season of life they're in. I read just a couple of days ago an article that talked about a survey they had done that most people become millionaires or self-made millionaires, and most people are that are millionaires. Most people become millionaires between the ages of 60 and 70. And so if you've got a mindset that I'm not going to be working during the ages of 60 or 70, or producing income, whatever you call work, if I'm not going to be producing income 60 and 70, then you just knocked yourself out of a season that was a great opportunity for you. Because the number one group of people who become millionaires do it between the ages of 60 and 70. The second group do it between 70 and 80. And the third between 50 and 60. So there is a season in life that we have. The same way you could say the things about sports. You could say the thing about events, your physical health, those kind of things. You know what? Maybe in your early teens, in your 20s, and those kind of things. You could sort of maybe do a little bit more than you can do when you get on into your 30s and 40s. Now, I think you ought to just do the most you can do all the time that you can do it. Just do everything you can possibly do, okay? I mean, just stretch it, take it to the limit. I mean, do those kind of things. But still, there are seasons that you look at, and if you're out here and you're in your 40s, you're probably not going to outrun that person that's in their 20s. Two different seasons have encountered each other. There are seasons in this life. To everything, there is a season. Everything. Everything. And there is a time to every purpose under the heavens. Notice this. Here it comes. Sad news. A time to be born. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many's been born so far? Amen. Amen. How did the rest of y'all get here? A time to be born and a time to die. As sure as you were born, unless Jesus comes back, you're going to die. What do I mean? Your spirit and your soul is going to leave your physical body. You're going to die. Oh, what a terrible confession. But just for the truth's sake, everybody say, if Jesus doesn't return, I'm going to die. Oh, spit that out. But we all are. It's the truth. Everybody's done it so far, but for two people. One of them, Enoch, has now been living 5,800 years. And he's still alive. He never died. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. A second one is Elijah, who went to heaven in that chariot of fire in that whirlwind that took him up. He's been there a little bit over 3,000 years that he's been there. But other than those two fellas, who I believe will come back during the tribulation period and physically die, but other than those two, everybody else has died. Everybody else has died. Odds are you're going to die. Somebody say amen. Amen. Odds are you're going to die. Now, if Jesus comes back today, no. He can come back, and you, even though you're alive, you'll be changed, transformed, and raptured to be with the Lord. And so will we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 7. And so we'll be with the Lord. But if that don't happen, you're going to die. Now then, look in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. Turn it with me. Hebrews. Take it to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. All right? If we're all going to die, let me ask you something. When you look at this world that's been here, I don't know how long, but from the time of Adam, 6,200 some odd years, last time I added it up, taking the dates and ages of people in the Bible. And so if we look at that, we recognize if we're going to die, then our life here is really very, 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 very short. If you live to be 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, 110, 120 years old, if you live that long still, it's very, very short in the scheme of things. And so, ask yourself a question. Why should you putting all of your investment, all of your eggs, in the basket of life that you now have and make no provision for the life after this one? I'd be very foolish, and you would too, if that's what we did. If we only made provision for the right now, here and now, and make no provision for the future. You should do that in saving and investing, doing things in your home, in repairs and upkeep of your home. Make sure it's good for when the storm comes. Maybe none coming today, but it will. So make sure you got the shutters out there, not letting in the cold air. That's something you talk about. All these kind of things. Make sure your car got the oil changed. And make sure that, you know, things are doing what they ought to do. Keep up the maintenance, that kind of. I mean, you'd be foolish if you just live for today without considering your tomorrows. Here's what the Bible tells you that CNN won't tell you. Hebrews 9, verse 27. As it is appointed unto man once to die. You only got to die one time. Nobody ever gets a second go through, or a second come around, or gets a second chance at it. You die once. As it appointed unto man once to die. But what? But then after this, the judgment. So here's what we know about everybody in this house. All of us have been born. As we had our season. And we're having our season of life right now. Every single one of us has been born. A second thing I now know is this, that all of us are going to die. Every one of us, unless Jesus comes back, we are all going to die. The third thing I know is this, after that death, every one of us are going to face a judgment. We will stand before the Lord God Almighty. Now again, there's seven judgments in Scripture, and I'm not going to detail all of them to you, but understanding that the judgment at the cross, there's judgment at the great white throne, there's other judgments that we'll talk about, that we come before God in judgment, different things. But just generally understanding this is that when we die, we will stand before God for what we've done and how we've lived in this life, in this body. If that's the case, when you stand before God in judgment, He don't ask you what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in. He does not ask you about a world of things that we are consumed with right now. How you voted in this election, how you voted in that one. Those kind of things. He don't ask you any of that. The only question that's going to be asked you then when you're standing before judgment is, do you pass the judgment bar? There is a way to pass it. I'm going to get to that. That's it. And so I'm going to stand before God Almighty one day and I will be judged. I will be judged. One day I will die. One day I will leave this world. I will be judged. Remember, Sheila says we're going to die together. I always tell everybody, please do an autopsy on me when we do. But we're going to die together and go to heaven together. But she and I, and maybe separated at that time for a few moments, but that judgment, she'll stand for herself, I'll stand for myself, and I'm going to be judged. You are too. Why should I, care so much about the Olympics and Puerto Rico, China, wherever they're having them? Why should I care so much about that when I could stand in judgment today? Why should I spend my time looking at how I can better my lot in this life? And that's okay. I think we all need to do that. But why should I spend so much time there and don't think anything about this judgment I'm going to face? Because I'm going to face it. Because I'm going to die. And if this is Bible, if this is not true, throw your Bible away, quit, leave the church, quit. There ain't no God, it's all over. But this is what God Almighty has said. This is what we're reading. Let me give you some bad news. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and look at verse 6. When we face this judgment, if we stand in this judgment in sin, if we stand in this judgment in sin, hell will become our home. Somebody say amen. I know it might hurt, but say it. Amen. Revelation 21 verse 6. And he said unto me, it's done. I'm Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Thank God for that. Amen. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. That's you and me. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That is me. Thank you, Jesus. But, the fearful, the unbelieving. Well, I think we're to have tolerance. Ain't no tolerance here. God's the one that created the place, and he's the one that makes the rules, and God says this is how it works. Men can whine and cry all they want to. Doesn't matter. The unbelieving, those who do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No other way. No other way. Buddha might have had a few little good sayings here or there. I don't know. Maybe Mohammed squirted out a few. I don't know what he did. But you know what? It don't matter. It doesn't matter. Mahatma Gandhi, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You ain't going to heaven unless you're going through Jesus Christ. Amen. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers. See all these sinners? Whoremongers. Out here running around chasing women, chasing men, and men chasing men, and women chasing women, whoever they chasing. I hope they don't catch each other. Whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. Bunch of liars. What's going to happen to them? They'll have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They ain't going to heaven. They're on their way to hell. They're on the way to the lake of fire, where hell is thrown into the last stage. We could look at all that. But they're on their way there. That's where they're going. Revelation 20, verse 15 says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, here's what I know now. I know I've been born. I know I'm going to have a season of life. I know I'm going to die, and I know after I die, I'm going to face a judgment. And I know if and when I face this judgment, if I'm filled with sin, I'm on my way to hell. That's ironclad, solid gospel truth. Somebody said, well, teach me how to have a right confession. I will. Hold on. Amen. Teach me how to get my financial house in order. I will. I will. We'll do all that. Teach me how to believe God for healing. I will. I will. We'll do all that too. But let me tell you something. All that's important. I'm all forever. Teach me how to have a good family relationship. Teach me how to be in love with the girl of your dreams. I will. I can teach you all that. Well, what good is if I teach you every bit of that and you die and go to hell for all eternity? Not a bit of good. Not a bit. Get your priorities straight. Get them right. Put first things first. Believe God, honor His word, and lock it in so that there's no escape from the truth of the gospel. Look what the scripture says. Now then, turn with me. Let me give you a little better news. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. In other words, Paul's talking about the spirit and soul, of which we are three-part man, spirit, soul, and body. The spirit and soul, spirit is that part of you that knows, soul is the part of you that feels, body is that part of you that gives you world expression. The spirit and soul in your body, as long as in here, you're not up there with God in heaven. God is seated on His throne in heaven. Jesus is by His right hand 24 times. The Bible says that. Book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so, while I am in this body on earth, while the presence of God fills the earth, while I am in communion with the presence of God, God literally seated in the heavens, ruling and reigning His vast universe. And so I'm not there up there in heaven where God lives, the planet heaven. I'm not there. I'm down here. And so while I'm in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. Up there, me down here. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now my faith is, I am one in the Lord. Jesus is Lord. I'm in Christ. I'm in the Lord. And that's my faith. And we walk in unity. We walk together. Jesus is my very best friend. I don't have another greater one. I know Him better than I know anybody else, and He knows me certainly better than anyone else knows me. But I know Him, and He is my very best friend. I love Him. I do some things because it's commanded in Scripture for sure. I do other things because I don't want to disappoint Jesus. And so in this relationship that we have in Him, we walking by faith, not by sight. Not that I saw Him walk up to me. We walk by faith. He's done a lot of things in my life, and He's invaded my experiential world a number of times in my life, but it just didn't happen every single day. But it could, but it doesn't. Verse 8, we are confident. Here's something I believe, something I know. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. What happens when a Christian is absent from the body? He is present with the Lord then. Amen. Present with the Lord. Now the Christian has a completely different outcome to his life at the judgment than the sinner has. The sinner is confined unto hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. The Christian, the person who serves and worships and loves God, that person enjoys the glory of God for all eternity in heaven, a real place. And so then, let's think about what we know now. We know everybody's going to die unless Jesus returns. We know that after this death, there is a judgment. We know that if we are judged, found guilty in our sins, that we go into this place called hell, the lake of fire. We also know that if we are in Christ Jesus, then we are present with the Lord, not the other place. Look with me in John. John chapter 3 and John chapter 5. Two places I'm going to show you, but look at John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verse 36, Jesus taught it this way. This is just not me, you know, cherry picking this or that and the other, whatever. Jesus taught it this way. In John chapter 3, verse 36, Jesus said this, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Amen. You can have everlasting life right now. Amen. Somebody say, right now. Amen. South Carolina style, right now. Amen. Right now. You can have it right now. And but he that believeth not the Son hath not seen life. Somebody say, well, I don't believe in Jesus. And the world says, well, you know, we've all got our little journeys that we're on, and we're all making our little trips, and you know what? You don't believe in Jesus, and that's your choice. That's okay. We're tolerant of you. And who's to say that our way is right and your way is wrong? I can't. You know what? Who's to say that? The man that wrote the book is. And his son said, I don't say nothing that he ain't told me to say. Just told us, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. What does he see? The wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God, the anger of God, cast into hell. Not offered you the opportunity, would you like to go? Cast into hell. My, can you imagine that? Imagine God Almighty has a creation, creates it, gives them everything, gives them a wonderful life to live, loving their hearts for one another, tells them that to live righteously and to walk and do the things that God has told them to do. And they don't do that, and they sell out from God. And from God, when they sell out from Him, they begin to follow God's adversary, the enemy, the devil, Satan himself, and give their lives unto Him and live for Him year after year after year after year, and live and die and live and die and live and die for Satan. And then 4,000 years later, man's world is such a sinful condition that God sends Jesus to buy them back and to release them from the power of sin. And He sends Jesus, the only one that can do it. Nobody on planet Earth can do it. They're all sinful. He sends the righteous Himself, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross, to free them of their sins. And God Almighty looked at that sacrifice while on the cross during those 3 hours that He looked upon Him. Couldn't look on Christ. The sins of the world came on Him. The brokenness of God that took place at that time, giving everything that He could give, nothing else would do. Gave His only begotten Son to free you and I from sin. And some people say, no, I don't want it. You know, if God was a man like you and I, you mean to tell me I gave my Son for you? I gave everything I could possibly give for you, and you reject it, and you still want to go to heaven? No, ain't happening. You will be cast into the lake of fire. Somebody say, amen. Boy, this is exciting this morning. I didn't come to hear all this. Well, good, I'm glad you're here, because you needed to be here. You needed to be here. There are times and seasons for everything. I don't know your season. I'm not going to scare anyone. I have no knowledge. I don't understand. I don't know. But I know this. I've talked to people sitting on this pew this week that wouldn't be sitting there next week. And their season, their time expired between this week and next week. So you better take light of your circumstance and your situation of your soul before God. You don't know. And I don't know either when that day and an hour would come for each of us. But I do know this, when it comes, I want to be found in Christ. How about you? Amen? Amen? Absolutely. Now look what he said. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. Notice this. Some will come forth. He gives this illustration he talks about, and I can't read it all, but he says, some shall come forth. They have done good unto the resurrection of life. And you got a church now that are out there. And you know what? I'm not about hurting anybody's feelings. I'm not about doing anything to be cruel to someone at a time of loss in their life. I'm just not about any of that. I mean, if I preach someone's funeral and I know you, and I know in my heart and my life that you serve the Lord and God was faithful to you and you were faithful to Him, I'm going to preach you all the way into heaven. I am. If I don't know that, I'm not. I'll talk about how we love and support each other and encourage each other and try to bless one another during these hard times of life. But you know what? We don't need to be lying at any point of our life. And we've got a church right now, not only that will not point out sin and tell you what is wrong and tell you what will happen if you commit that sin, but some of them are practicing that sin in the first place, filled up with it in their congregations and in their church houses, and wouldn't dare mention sin because they're afraid that it might offend somebody and somebody wouldn't give them some money. It's amazing what people do. It's incredible. But let me tell you something. God's gospel is not for sale for any amount of money. And the truth is the truth whether I like it or you like it or don't like it. Look at John chapter 5, verse 29. They shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. People got people preaching people into the resurrection of life, and They just sinners all the time. They ain't done no good. They've done some of the meanest things ever been done. And yet, still, they want to make them like that. Remember I told you the story about the guy that talked to me? He was a sinner. And he said to me, when I die, I want to go to heaven. I said, what for? They don't do nothing in heaven that you do down here. Nobody runs around, crowds, get drunk, beats your wife and all this. They don't do all that up there. There ain't no Las Vegas up in heaven. There ain't no gambling joints up there. What would you do? The man looked at me honestly. He said, well, now that you put it like that, I don't know. I said, in the book of Revelation, it talks about people worship God and sing 10,000 times 10,000 angels, worship God day and night, never shut up, saying glory, glory to God. He said, that make me nervous. He's being honest. John 5, verse 29, unto the resurrection life. But they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. If your life is filled with sin, and you've been doing the evil, you ain't being resurrected to life. You're being resurrected to damnation. That is why. This is why, when we look at this, this is why that 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 is so important. I don't want to be that person that is resurrected to damnation. I want to be the one resurrected to life. And what I found out from Scripture, there really ain't nothing I can do good that'll make the difference in the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. But one thing. And that is, receive what the one who has already made a way for me, receive what he's done for me. I couldn't die on a cross for myself. Too sinful. You couldn't either. I couldn't do it. I couldn't pay my own price of my own sin. I didn't have the price to pay. It required a righteous payment. No man on planet Earth had that payment to make. That's why God sent a man from heaven to earth. And while that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and said, Leon, I love you so much, son. I'll take all the sin that you committed in your life, and I'll let it be laid on me, and I'll take the whipping for you, Leon. I'll take the beating for you. I'll take the death for you so that you can go free. And then God says, Leon, you want that? God, you kidding? You know I want it. Absolutely. And because of that, then worlds without end will live to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for releasing me from a devil's hell. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me how to live this life of victory that I now enjoy. Thank you, Jesus, because by myself, I could have done none of that, Lord. But God, you've made it all possible for me. That's the gospel. That's salvation. And you know what? All of us need to make those choices in our life that I've been born now. I'm on this journey. I'm on this treadmill and ain't no getting off. I'm on it. I've been born. When one day I'm going to die. And after I die, I'm going to face a judgment. And after this judgment, if I'm a sinner, then I'm headed toward the lake of fire. But if I'm righteous because Christ has made me righteous, then I'm going to enter into the resurrection of life with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Those are my choices. My choice is very simple. I say yes to God or no. Ain't nobody making you say yes. Somebody said, what would it take for me to serve God? Everything you've got. All that you are and hope and ever will be. It will take a surrender of your whole spirit, soul, and body over into the hands of Almighty God. To where you will now say, the life I now live is not my own, but I live in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's giving it all up, everything. Somebody says, can I hold on to this? No, you can't. No, you can't hold on to nothing. You won't want to. Once God comes into your heart and life and gives you his divine nature, you'll see this old world as it really was, the most ugly, filthy, vile things that you've ever seen in your life. And you see it in the world. And the world today is so easy to see. They've gone so nuts, it's unbelievable. So nuts. But you and I have been delivered from that. The Bible says in the last days that strong delusion comes on the hearts and minds of men. And it's on them now. They have strong delusion. And they are and don't even see it. But you and I, we see it. Because we don't have the same mind that they have. We don't have the delusion that they have. We have the mind of Christ that is in us. Why? Because we made a choice. We made a choice. Stand up with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Let's ask God's blessing on us today. I'm going to give you an opportunity for you and I to pray. Because I want two things to happen. Number one, if you're in this place today and everything is not right between you and God, I want you to get right with God today. You need to do it. God's done everything He's going to do. He did it 2,000 years ago. He sent Jesus and died for you on a cross. It's now up for you and me to say yes or say no. We can do either one we want to do. It's up to you. And the consequences will depend on what you say. But above that, let me ask you this. Above that and beyond that, recognize how many of us today, when we may not have been talking about ourselves, we're talking about moms or dads. Grandpa, grandma, sons or daughters, granddaughters, grandsons, cousins, nephews, nieces, uncles, aunts, people you work with, people you live beside, people you see when you buy your groceries, people around you, every one of those, even though they're not here in this service this morning, the same reality faces them. They face the same reality. Lord willing, I'll get into it next week, but the Lord says He has made us ministers of reconciliation. If you know Jesus, you are a minister to reconcile them to Jesus. That's the greatest thing you can ever do in this life. There's nothing any greater. Nothing is worth the soul of a man or a woman who goes in eternity lost and without God. Nothing. No time, no hobby, no favorite television program. Nothing is worth the cost of men and women's souls. And men and women this week will die and will leave and go into eternity. And our big decision is, number one, are we ready ourselves? And number two, if we are ready, are we willing to talk to someone else about Jesus and bring them to that same place where they'll make their decision? It all depends on you and it all depends on me. There's not another way. Jesus didn't say, I'm coming back about 10 years before I actually wrap for the church and get everybody ready. No, 2,000 years ago, He committed the gospel into the hands of 12 men and women. 12 men. Gave them the gospel and told them, go in all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He said, everybody that believes will be saved. Everybody believes not to be damned. But preach them this gospel. It's your and my job to give the gospel to every single person that we possibly can in this life. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I come before You, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank You for the opportunity to share a very simple message with the people that You love this morning. Lord, I've done my very best, Lord God. I can't do any better. Lord God, I pray, take what I have said, take what I've administered from the Word of God, and maybe it become fire in our bones, and may it truly, Lord God, push us and motivate us and stir us to take actions in our life. And Lord God, we'll give You praise for all things. Every head's bowed, every eye closed in the whole building today. No one looking around. I wonder this day, God bless you. I'm so happy to see you in the house of the Lord today. And thank you and God bless you for being here. You did a good thing. But my real question for you, is there anyone in the house today that you don't know Jesus? And you're not born again? You have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here and you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, I'd like to pray with you, just like I prayed many years ago to receive Jesus. I'll pray for you the same way. You can receive Jesus today. So anyone in the house, you say, Pastor, I've never committed my life to the Lord, and I need to. I need to make Jesus Lord in my life. Anyone in the house, I just slip your hand, wave at him and say, hey, Pastor, I'm in the house. It's me. I want you to pray with me. Anyway, come on. If you're here, let me go a second route. Because sometimes people say that, hey, you know what? I've given my life to the Lord, but I really haven't been living for Him faithfully. Maybe there's some sin in your life right now, and things aren't right between you and God right now. And you know you need to make them right. You need to get every sin under the blood. And you're here today, and that you've walked with the Lord, but you know things aren't right in your life. You know they're not. And you need to rededicate and commit your life to the Lord. Whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter to me, just so that you're right with God when you leave this house today. It's that important for your soul and for your life. And so if you're here today and that's you, and you say, Pastor, please, when you pray, I want you to pray the prayer for me too, because I want to make sure everything's right with me before God. I just really want to dedicate my life to the Lord, rededicate my life to the Lord, commit myself to Him in a new and a fresh way today. Anyone here today, anyone like that's you, lift your hand, wave it at me, say, hey, Pastor, that's me. Anyone in this congregation, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus' name. You know, there's people in your family, people that you know, that you're acquainted with, that don't know Jesus. If you know someone that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, lift your hand away, baby. Come on, come on. All those members. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Secondly, how many of you that know someone that doesn't know Jesus would be willing to say, Lord God, here I am. Let me be a witness in the name. Raise your hand, Fisher. Raise your hand. How many knows that you can't be a witness and you can't do anything unless God's hand of grace and power is on your life? It's His anointing that'll make changes in people's lives. And so I'm going to ask every single person in the whole house today, every single person today, visit with us, that's fine, you're welcome. Every single person, right now, as we close in a covenant prayer together, I want every single one of you to step out of your pew, make your way to the altar this morning, and we're going to pray together. Come on, come on. And I want you to bring the names of your family, of people you work with, people that you know, people that are unsaved, people that don't know Jesus, that you're believing, and you're going to see them saved in Jesus' name. You're going to see them delivered from the devil's hell and set free so that their eternity doesn't have to be lost and damned forever. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Just begin to worship the Lord, honor Him. Worship the Lord, honor Him in Jesus' name. Lord, we give You all praise. We give You all glory, Lord God. We magnify Your name, Lord, even above Your word, as You have said. And God, we give You glory, we give You honor, Almighty God. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. You know what? If us in this congregation this morning have come here this morning, and some of us are not very, very serious before God, if you just came down just because I asked you to, I respect that. I appreciate that. But you know what? Unless you're very, very serious before God, it might be your prayer, it might be your witness that it caused somebody you know and love to make it to heaven rather than going to hell. It is that serious in these last days. You can't get any closer to the last days than we are right now. This is it. There's signs all over this world of what's taking place. And this is it. If we've ever witnessed to someone or talked to someone about their soul and the condition of their lives, now's the time to do it. There's not another time. You don't know that you'll have another day, much less even another hour. Right now, I pray with all sincerity that you take this prayer seriously in your heart and life. Lift your hand before the Lord. Let's pray this day. Come on. Lift your hands. Go ahead, lift your hands. Say, Dear Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord God. It is not Your will or Your desire that anyone go to hell or the lake of fire. I thank You, Lord God. You paid the price at all costs so that men and women don't have to go to hell. You sent the Lord Jesus. You can't do any more. You did it all. And so, Lord God, I pray, touch my heart in my life, touch my determination, my boldness, my authority to reach out and minister to those that don't know You, those who are unsaved, those that could be lost by the end of this week if I don't move. Lord God Almighty, I give You my tongue, I give You my hands, I give You who I am to reach out to those that I know need You, Lord Jesus. It is my covenant today that I will speak the gospel to them. I will pray for them. I will be by their side. I will love them. I will encourage them. I will compel them. I will nudge them. I will give them a push into the kingdom of God. I pray, Lord God, I will be successful, not for my success, but for theirs, that they might make heaven, that they might miss hell. And in Jesus' name, I believe I am a soul winner. I believe I lead people to Jesus. I believe there's going to be change in the name of Jesus. And I expect it. I rejoice in it. And I give you all praise and all glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. A great way to do it is talk to people. Just love people. Just love them. And another thing too is, hey man, let me tell you something. Let me give you a little secret. I'm not going to get out here against all this stuff about fighting with medicines and science and all this kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. One of the greatest tools that the devil's used, I believe, in the last hundreds of years is shut down the churches with this coronavirus thing. Because when he did that, like a year or so ago, almost 2 years ago now, and that took place, my, the people that fall away, the people that left, all those kind of things that happened throughout the body of Christ, that was his great attack. Listen, church won't save you, but it's going to do a whole lot more for you than the nightclubs and bars will. Somebody say amen. And being here gives people an opportunity to hear the gospel. Bring somebody to church. If you're visiting with us, when you go back to your church, take somebody to your church. It doesn't matter. We want people into the kingdom of God. But bring somebody to church. It's easy to say, hey man, come on with us to church. I think you'll like it. Invite somebody to church, and you might be the person that was responsible for changing their destiny. What about that? I was singing that song last week as a worship before the Lord. I told God, I said, Lord God, tell my dad. I'll see him later. And right out of my things, I heard this voice come out of me that said this, tell him I'll be coming in. When I come in now, I'll be coming in, bringing in the sheaves. I'm going to be bringing them in. I'm going to bring them in. We're going to bring, and that's our task. That's our task. Thank God for every blessing God's given us his life. He gives us a bunch. I do. But it ain't nothing compared to seeing somebody be saved, somebody come to Jesus. You can be part of that. How many's going to be part of it? Say amen. 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 Anybody, before we dismiss right now, you need special prayer for anybody? Anybody? Hey, Shirley, what you need? What you need? Hey, girl, what you need? Okay, we believe in God for that. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray, touch Bree and Cameron. Lord God, you know the hearts in their lives, no different than you and me, Lord God. And Lord God, all of us face circumstances, situations in our life, Lord God, we make some decisions that aren't good. And then we start making right ones, Father. And Lord God, we need this new ground that is sown now, Lord God, to produce a new harvest. And Father God, we pray for restoration, his home, his family, his children, Father God. And I bless in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Let everything work as it should. And Lord God, let everything progress as it should. And Father God, we call this couple a home, a mom and a dad and a baby in Jesus' holy name. Missouri, almighty God, your hand is upon her. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God is good, isn't he? God is good. Anybody else, anything else? Jesus, he's God good. Everybody all clear before the Lord? Everybody okay? In Jesus' name. Hey, girl. You did? What for? Okay. Okay, let's just believe God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God, heal, make whole, and take away this pain out of her body, and loose her in the name of Jesus Christ, by thy power and for thy glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else need anything before the Lord? God's good, isn't he? God is good. God is good. Won't you? In Jesus' name. God loves all of us, doesn't he? He loves us. He loves us. He loves you. He loves you. God loves you today. You know that? He loves you. You're very special to him. He's got big plans for you. God wants to do very special things in your life. As you give him your whole heart and your whole life, you walk before him faithfully, he'll open doors that before were closed. He'll do things in your life that were mistakes and errors were made. There'll come a healing of those things and a new harvest will come into your life. God said he loves you. He loves you and he's working in your life. Allow him to do all that he wants to do. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. In the name of Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for our children, our grands, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Devil, we will not allow you to have our offspring in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ that breaks every barrier and every yoke and sets free from all manner of sin. And in the name of Jesus, we call the harvest to come in, our children leading the way. Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, send forth a working, willing worker that will witness the love of God and the gospel of Christ, that will bring faith to the hearts for believing. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen, we say amen, amen, amen. God bless, God bless. God is good, God is good. Anybody else, you got something you need from the Lord today? Anybody else? In Jesus' name. All minds clear before God. Isn't God good? Oh, man, don't this make you love everybody? Amen. Do this before you leave. Good. Look at somebody very pointed and say, I love you.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today, is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.